Find out how embracing uncertainty and developing a resilient mindset can give you a competitive edge in the business world. But what happens when uncertainty becomes overwhelming? Will you be able to navigate the challenges ahead or succumb to the pressure? Listen to today's episode to learn what you can do to enjoy the unknown and impact your success.
Welcome to Biz Help for You, the show that saves you the expensive learning curve by providing advice from industry experts in every facet of the entrepreneurial journey. Too many small businesses collapse. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 20% fail within their first year, and less than 35% make it to their 10th anniversary. The goal of this podcast is to change that statistic. So if you're interested in learning more to be a successful entrepreneur, tune in today.
Let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Jeff Zelaya is an experienced entrepreneur and marketing consultant with a track record of over 15 years in the field. He specializes in empowering organizations to reach their full potential, identifying opportunities, and generating millions in revenue for his clients. Beyond the business realm, Jeff is a father of three, emphasizing the importance of work-life balance and positive environments. His entrepreneurial journey has been motivated by the desire to create something of his own while promoting holistic success. He provides valuable guidance to CEOs from various sectors with a focus on branding, digital marketing, and leadership. Jeff's remarkable career highlights include turning a franchise into a seven-figure company within 2 years, mastering million-dollar deals, and being a sought-after speaker at events like AdWorld and the Commitment Summit, where he shares the stage with renowned figures such as John Maxwell, Kevin Harrington, and Jesse Itzler. You can benefit from Jeff's expertise in business growth, marketing, and leadership, as well as in his insights into achieving a balanced and fulfilling entrepreneurial life. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
What's up, Candy? Oh, I am so excited to be here. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. Man, I've accomplished a lot. I'm just humble brag. You know, honestly, I always find it grounding to hear that. And I realize, wow, you know, there's been a lot, you know, that I've accomplished. And it hasn't been on my own by any means. It's been because of the support of amazing colleagues and business partners and my family. My wife has supported me from the very beginning. So I'm very grateful for that long list of accomplishments, Candy. So what a way to start it off. So thank you for that.
Well, I gave a little bit of information, obviously, but I would love for you just to maybe share a little bit more about your entrepreneurial journey. Like, how did you even become a business owner, and how can you now share your expertise with others?
Absolutely. So one thing I learned as an entrepreneur and in sales and as a business professional, you'll learn this as well, is that people forget what you say, right? That introduction, I'm going to forget exactly what you said, but I'm not going to forget how it made me feel, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the impact that I want to have today on this call, however you're listening to this, whether it's on the drive or while working out or while working or having some downtime. You know, I want to just give you some critical lessons that have helped me as an entrepreneur that I could hopefully pass along to you. And I think one of the most important stories I want to share with you is my why. And that's a powerful story. And you should know your why of why you got started in the first place. And I want to share with you now my why. And entrepreneurship actually runs in my family. So back when I was a young kid, I was growing up in Miami. I'm a first generation American, meaning that my mom is an immigrant. She came to this country seeking better opportunities. I was born here in America and was raised in a poor community. You know, it was an inner city. But summers, I was very lucky because my mom would save up her money and would buy me a plane ticket, send me to my abuelita, my grandma in Costa Rica, and I would visit her there. And that's where I really got in touch with my entrepreneurial roots. See, my abuelita owned a bazaar, which is like a pulperia. It's a small shop, a neighborhood shop, where they stock all types of items, things like hair products or t-shirts or snacks and popsicles and drinks. So she would have all these things ready for the neighborhood and that was her business. She was an entrepreneur. But I would love spending time with her those summers because I was the secret weapon in helping sales soar for her store those summers, because I would come with my crazy ideas. And keep in mind, I'm a young kid and I'm just throwing all types of things at grandma, like, grandma, let's get this boombox out here. Let's put some music up. Let's have a dance contest, right? Get all the kids in here. I'm going to go promote the dance contest and we're going to have a party at the store at 7 o'clock. So I started doing these crazy things. And guess what happened? People started to show up. People started to hang out. People started to buy stuff and come back and buy more stuff. And Abuelita used to love it every summer that I came, because sales would surely go up when I was in town. And that was my story of how I became hooked on becoming an entrepreneur, right? The opportunity to create something out of nothing and do it in a way where you're serving others. So while I was in that store helping people make their purchases, I was also getting to know them. I was figuring out, hey, what's a missing need right now, right? Well, how can I better serve you? And I would give that feedback to my Abuelita. She would bring in better products and offer different upsell opportunities as well to those clients. And it just helped me realize, wow, there's opportunity here, right, in serving a need. And being able to provide something that is needed to these customers. And at the same time, we're growing ourselves, we're growing our business, and we're able to have a greater impact in our community. So that's how Entrepreneur got started for me. That's kind of when I realized, hey, this is the route I want to go. And I decided kind of the particular route that I followed was becoming an entrepreneur in the world of marketing. And I became a marketing agency owner and a consultant and a public speaker. But the reason I loved marketing and sales is because I could apply it to any type of field, right? Whether it's healthcare, whether it's sports, whether it's even politics, right? You could apply marketing to any of these areas. And that's what I love about it so much. So I'm never bored. It always keeps me exciting. There's always new opportunities. It's always evolving. There's things that are changing that you need to learn. So these are all the things that are romantic, right, about that entrepreneur lifestyle that I fell in love.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, thank you for sharing that. I always love to hear how people got, you know, where they are now. It's always fun. And some people intentionally became entrepreneurs, some it just kind of happened. So I always find that story interesting. So, but we're going to be moving into obviously the topic we have today, where we're going to talk about, you know, embracing uncertainty. And I'm sure that strikes fear in the hearts of some people because we like to control things and we like to know what's going to happen. But I would love for you to first just talk about, like, how does embracing uncertainty even lead to competitive advantages when we are trying to get ourselves out there in the marketplace?
Absolutely. So one thing that we've done at our company is actually create a program for all our new team members to be able to undergo what we call VUCA training. So VUCA is an acronym that was first coined by the Marines back in the foundational days of the Marines. And VUCA was the training that required being able to deal with volatile, uncertainty, complexity, in ambiguous situations, right? So these Marines required special training to be able to deal with these type of situations that they were being placed in. So our company took elements of those trainings and started applying it to our team members, right? How can we better create team members that are resilient, right? Mm-hmm. That could be put in any situation and they'll figure a way out, right? They'll get it resolved. That we could put them into situations where we don't know what's going to happen next, but we trust that they're going to make the right decision at that point, right? So we started figuring out, okay, how can we better empower people like this? So we realized a lot of it was mindset. Mindset was a big key area of development for us at our company. Is how can we invest in our people to continue developing their mindset? So we have, you know, we practice different, for example, breathing exercises that help us better clear out our mind and better focus on what's ahead of us, or dealing, you know, a different breathing exercise that could also help us with bringing some peace to a situation that might be chaotic, right? Where we have maybe a customer that all of a sudden is really upset and angry. How do we use our VUCA training to be able to bring some peace into that moment where we maybe we're about to lose it, right? So these are all things that we train our team to be able to deal with VUCA training. So we have various exercises. It's everything from breathing exercises to meditation to even things like praying as a company, which I know sounds odd for some people out there, but something that we do at our company, we pray together, and that's helped us better center ourselves. You know, we also focus a lot on family, right? So even though there is complexity and there's things that aren't, you know, are changing, let's focus on things that are always there for us, right? People that always have our back, right? And kind of making sure that we stay grounded. So there's, you know, a lot of different things that we're doing to prepare our team to deal with complexity and uncertainty. I think the main thing is just developing their mindset and giving them the resources, giving them strategies, giving them techniques, you know, certain tactics. So that way they're prepared. So when they're in that situation where they feel overwhelmed, or they feel like, oh my God, things are falling apart, or I don't know what's going to happen next, they could go back to that training and use those things that they learned to be able to get themselves in check and then be able to then move on to the next step that they have to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that sounds like great advice in terms of preparing your staff if something comes their way that they're not expecting. But someone might still be saying, well, I still don't understand how that helps me be competitive in the marketplace. Like, yes, now my staff isn't going to stress out, or they can be empowered to make decisions so they don't have to, you know, ask higher ups or whatever. But like, tell me how that really translates into being competitive in the marketplace.
Oh, yeah. So from the very... if you're doing it right, your client should be able to feel the effect, right? They should be able to have confidence that their account manager or their sales rep, wow, this person is different. You know, they're calm, you know, no matter what I'm throwing their way, like they seem to have it all together. They seem to have the answer. They seem to be collected. So that's the kind of culture or experience that we want to instill. I think that's the competitive advantage, right? It's sometimes not what's, that's, you can't point to it. It's not the tangible stuff. It's the effect of dealing with people that are from that company, right? What, how do you feel? How are you being treated? So I think that is a competitive advantage. But also, you know, looking deeper, you know, we've dealt with situations like COVID, for example. You know, came out of nowhere, right? Shocked many businesses everywhere, right? I mean, you talk about uncertainty and complexity and all those stuff. That was everything mixed into one. We were able to get through that without having to lay anybody off because we were prepared. We had that competitive advantage of people knowing, okay, we know what this is, right? We could go through this. We've been through worse, right? We survived that. Let's get through this. We know what to do. Let's rely on our training. Let's go back to the basics. So I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, when you look at, you know, what can you do, right? If you're in that situation, what can you do? You know, you could always rely on your training. You could always fall back to your skill set, right? You could always go back to the stuff that you know, and then that will help you overcome whatever it is that you have coming up in your day to day.
Right. Well, and we know we all have different, you know, like risk tolerances, right? Some people are very risk averse and some people are like, let me throw caution to the wind, right? And let's just see what happens, right? So how do we kind of balance that? You know, if we are a little bit more risk averse, how do we really start to embrace that uncertainty a little bit more? Or maybe if people just like throw caution to the wind and saying uncertainty is wonderful, but sometimes it really gets them into too much trouble, you know, like how do we really balance that?
Oh, that happens so often in these discussions and our meetings. Marketers are very similar, right? We're always trying to push the edge, push the boundary, try something new, experiment. So that's part of our culture, right? We're never going to be complacent or stagnant or just relying on stuff that's worked and that's all we're doing. No, we're always trying to innovate and implement. So we're open to that. And I think the way we balance it is that we look for people that are kind of on the opposite spectrum and say, okay, we need people that could, you know, could look at the numbers and say, well, you know, Jeff, that's a great idea, but looking at the budget, it's not going to work because X, Y, Z, right? So we need to have that emotional and that logical, right? And people that are representing both of those aspects in the room to be able to have a productive conversation that's going to actually get us the result, you know, the outcome that's going to lead to the result that we want. So I think that's, you know, the key. And that's how we're, you know, when we hire, when we bring on people, we want people, not just everyone that thinks like us, right? Or that is just like us, right? We want diversity in thoughts, in risk, you know, tolerance, right? In creativity. It's all right. We're all different and we all are playing a role, but are we balancing each other and helping each other develop and grow and see kind of all areas of their idea?
Well, and I think that sounds great for someone who has a staff, especially if there's like many, you know, staff members, like at least five, six, seven, maybe, you know, where you could really have this discussion and get a lot of feedback and kind of come to a consensus. But a lot of people are running their companies on their own. Maybe they don't have like any support team that's helping them. So what can you tell them about maybe getting some advisors around in a circle, you know, that would support them? How do they find those people? Like, how do you recommend them going about even beginning?
So any business owner that's listening to this, you should not be alone. Don't do this on your own. Entrepreneurship is already lonely as it is. So don't be by yourself, right? You got to be hanging around other entrepreneurs, people that are in the same journey that you are. Because you're going to need to get inspired. You're going to need to do inspiration to sometimes to other people, right? Help them out, cheer them up. Sometimes you want to hear kind of what's working, right? What's their wins and successes. And they're going to feed off each other. So you want to be around people that are on that same journey, that are pushing each other towards greatness. So find those people, right? There could be, you know, mentors, people that you've worked with in the past. It could be, you know, maybe one of your best clients. It could be someone from the community that you admire and respect. You could also join masterminds, right? There's different masterminds that are designed for business owners where you're in a very structured program to be able to help each other out. And then I would say, you know, have a very strong, you know, family support as well, right? Like make sure that you guys are all on the same page, aligned. Okay, here's where we're going. Here's the vision for our business and for what we're trying to build.
I think all that is important too. And I think sometimes it's hard for family if they're not actually in the business and understand, like, it just takes over your mind a lot of times too, because you're thinking about it all the time and making sure that you can resolve issues and thinking ahead and trying to be strategic. And so sometimes it's hard, you know, for family to really understand all of that. So that's why I think other opportunities, whether you have a mentor or, like you said, a mastermind, I think masterminds are fabulous, right? Because you can come with a challenge or something you want to pursue and, you know, get that feedback from others. And often their perspective, you know, because it's different, it can highlight something that maybe you hadn't even thought of, you know, that will help you kind of proceed, you know, with what idea that you have or how to, you know, come about solving that problem in a different way. So I think that is key.
Absolutely. And another quick tip, you know, I want to share, because this is like, there's some new stuff happening out with AI, but you know, have you ever thought about using ChatGPT as your devil's advocate, right? So like toss in, hey, I have this great idea. I want you to poke holes in this idea, right? What could go wrong? And let AI go to work asking you all the questions that are going to help you, again, rethink what you came up with and figure out how to plug those holes to make the idea even better. And you don't have to hire anybody else or a team of people to help you. You could do that through AI, just through some prompting and some discussion there. So, you know, use the resources. There's a lot of different ways, you know, but don't just... You know, don't just go with your idea and that's it. Like, get some feedback, get some support, you know, have people, it will only make it stronger.
Right. Well, there's so many different areas that we could be facing uncertainty, right? We know, like, there's potentially a recession. Well, maybe we're coming out of the recession and that, you know, there's this back and forth. So like financially looking at that, it's, are our products going to be available in the market long-term? Like there's, you know, different areas too, that we could be facing uncertainty. So do you want to touch on maybe like, again, how to embrace these different types of uncertainty and how we use that to make our decisions for monitoring our finances, you know, determining what might be a new product or service that we want to put out in the market and that we have long-term success instead of these short-term, like maybe we had a small gain and then we lose it.
Well, Candy, I think, you know, something that you help your clients with that I know you're amazing at and something that's helped us through those uncertainties, moments of uncertainty is just being financially sound, you know, knowing that, you know, we've got it right. That, you know, the cash flow is there, that, you know, we're not, you know, burning money, you know, that we are, everything is tightly monitored because, you know, when the recession or when the COVID happened, right, businesses that didn't have that stability financially, right, they were the first ones to go, first ones to shut down.
Right.
So that was a big lesson for us is, okay, you know, let's get ahead of that. Like if we want to have this type of mental, right, freedom, right, and like creativity, right, we need to know, like, we're going to be okay, right, financially. So let's make sure that we're saving. We're putting, you know, savings, that we have 3 months of savings. If, you know, we lost every single client right now, that we would still be able to at least get through this for the next 3 months. So that was that. That was the game plan. And we started saving every month, putting away. So we had that cushion for those moments of uncertainty, because we know they're coming, right? What's certain is that uncertainty will happen.
Right.
And we're facing it again now, right? We're seeing agencies that haven't had their best year. You know, I've been talking to a lot of agency owners. I'm part of a mastermind. You know, it's been a tough year for many of them. So now they're getting prepared and they're, you know, having to make some readjustments. We're seeing some layoffs, unfortunately. But we're also seeing some other agencies picking up those hires. So there's a lot of reallocating that's happening, right? Skill redistribution, right? So, for example, AI has potentially eliminated certain roles, right? But it's created new ones, right? So that kind of migration, okay, how do we transition that? I think that's uncertainty, right? We don't know exactly what's happening. You know, the developments of AI, how quickly is this going to get better and better and better? And what else will eliminate, right? That's uncertainty. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So we're just, what do? We try to learn. We try to get educated. We try to, okay, let's really learn. Because sometimes people get overwhelmed with uncertainty because they don't really know. That's the problem. They just, they're not informed. Get a little bit more informed. Don't just say, oh, it's uncertain and that's it. No, it's uncertain. But how can I get more certain? Is there a way for me to get at least as much as I can, right? So I think that's what we're doing now with like AI and the developments that are happening there. We, how much can we know so that we can at least be ahead or on the cutting edge?
Mm-hmm. Well, and if we're embracing this uncertainty and we're moving ahead, you know, trying to, again, maybe create a product or a service or, you know, try something in marketing and maybe it flops, you know, we try something and we fail, right? It's going to happen at some point. So what would you say to someone who maybe they faced a challenge and, you know, they need to be resilient and be able to come back from that and recover and, you know, move on and try again? Like, are there any practical steps or tips that you can offer to them to build up that resilience when they face these challenges?
Yeah. So, you know, I see failures as stepping stones to my next victory. So every failure you toss at me is just a stepping stone that I'm going to use to walk on to my next victory. And that's what they do, right? You stack them up. Those L's, those losses, you stack them up and you stand on those as a win. And the way you do that is by learning from those losses, right? When you make those mistakes, take time to like do a debrief and dissect and a postmortem and just figure out what went wrong here. What could have done better? What could we have done better? How can we make sure that we don't make the same mistake again? And that's... That's how you turn that loss into a learning, into a lesson, right? And that's a practice, not just in my business, but in my family. You know, we don't lose. We just find ways that didn't work. And now we're better prepared for the next time around, right? And that's how we continue to grow. And we also, you know, we like to learn, you know, I tell my family, and we like to look at mistakes others have made and learn from that. Because we can accelerate learning. We don't always have to make the mistake ourselves. Right. Sometimes someone else made it. We observe, we learn, and now we are saved from doing that if we could learn the lesson from them.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons why I want to have this podcast too. You know, my goal is to educate entrepreneurs, you know, to help them be successful and give them advice from the experts, right, to help them understand what they should be doing so they can avoid, you know, the downfalls that may come. And, you know, again, we're all going to face challenges. We're going to have failures, you know, at some point too, but too many businesses are failing completely, right? You know, and especially with COVID, when people started businesses often because they needed to, they maybe lost their job or the jobs just ceased for a bit. So they got into business and they didn't know everything that they didn't know. And from statistics I saw recently, 50% of businesses that started during COVID have failed already, you know, and that is a horrible statistic, you know. And so that's why I'm here and why I'm interviewing people like you, really, to share your expertise and give them that advice, because we can't make all the mistakes and learn from them ourselves. We have to have that information from others.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the most important, I think, lessons, you know, that I would like to share with your audience is, you know, if you're a business owner, right, and you're on the fence, like, I don't know, like, why should I continue? Like, why should I keep going? Things are tough. Like, I'm having a hard time. Like, I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to listen to these podcasts. Like, hopefully Candy could teach me something that's going to help me get out of this position that I'm in. Here's the one piece of advice I want to give you. remember why you started in the first place. Mm-hmm. Remember why you started in the first place. Because many people that I know started their business, they wanted that freedom. They didn't want to have a boss. They want to have to clock in. They want to have to ask permission to go see their son and their daughter's recital. Or because they're sick, they have to tell someone that they, if they could please take the day off. Mm-hmm. That's why I started. I don't know. Why did you start? You know, remind yourself in those tough moments, in those uncertain moments, in those, you know, when you feel like giving up, why did you start in the first place? Mm-hmm. And let that be the fuel that gets you through whatever you're going through right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so important. And have those cheerleaders, you know, on your sidelines, rooting you on, even in those challenging times, because we all go through those challenging times, right? There's times where we're going to be like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Right. It'd be easier if I just had a 9-to-5. Right. But like you said, if you understand, you know, kind of the goals that you set for yourself and know you are going to be able to come out on the other side, assuming, you know, obviously we've got some fiscal responsibility and things like that too. Right. But there are times we're all going to feel down and overwhelmed, and just have those people who can encourage you through those, you know, trying times and then come out again on the other side.
Absolutely. So important. So important. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, I know we're coming close to the end of the time that we have together. So I wanted to say, if anyone has more questions, they want to reach out and connect with you, how can they find you?
Well, Candy, the best way to reach me is on LinkedIn. Just look up Jeff Zelaya. You could find me there. I'm also very active on Instagram. So I love Instagram because I combine, you know, myself, like it's everything. It's me, my family, it's me personal, it's business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like the best reflection of like Jeff Zelaya as a person. So I would love for you to follow me on Instagram at Jeff Zelaya. And you know, I love connecting with people, reach out. You know, I answer my messages directly, and I would love to get back in touch with you guys. But you know, Candy, thank you again for this opportunity. You're doing some amazing things with your business. Continue to help these people grow, because they need to get a hold of their finances and their accounting. Man, there's so many things that I've seen. So I know you're doing God's work, Candy. So I appreciate everything that you're doing. Keep up the great work with this podcast as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I definitely enjoyed having you as a guest and having this conversation. And, you know, a lot of times people don't want to have to face that uncertainty, but I am glad that you are encouraging people to say, it's okay, you know, face the uncertainty, take those steps, have wise counsel, you know, have those others around you to support you, but do what you can to, you know, not just completely stay safe, because that doesn't help you grow either.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Would you please share this episode with those you know and leave a review on your favorite platform? And if you find our show informative, would you consider being a financial sponsor to help me continue my mission to educate business owners? A link is located in the episode description, and no amount is too small. I'd really appreciate your support. If you are interested in connecting with our guest and receiving the offer they had to share, a link to our resource page is in the show notes. Finally, if you have any bookkeeping or payroll needs, reach out to us at 310-534-5577 or contact at abandp.com. My team and I are eager to assist you. Until next time, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Biz Help for You. Please join your host, Candy Messer, again next time. Have a terrific day.